Welcome. This is another episode of the Flip Empire Show with Alex Pardo, episode 156.
Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
What's going on, party people? Hope you're doing awesome. And I got a pretty badass show for you with an absolute stud, a guy by the name of Dan Zatofsky. Let me just kind of whet your appetite here before I give you, you know, a little bit of background as to who Dan is and why you should be listening. We're going to be talking all about creating long-term wealth by becoming the bank. Okay. And so, you know, when you, I'm not sure, you know, where you're listening or what city you live in, but if you drive into any big city, any downtown area, and you look up and you see the tallest buildings in town, ask yourself who owns those buildings. The answer is the bank. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk about today, you know, I know a lot of people that listen to the show are wholesalers, fix and flip investors. We're going to talk about taking a lot of the money that you're generating in your wholesaling business or in your fix and flip rehab business and putting that into a larger play so that you can create true lasting passive wealth by becoming the bank. And guys, you know, Dan is somebody who's been at this business for close to 30 years. The guy has closed over 400 fix and flip deals. He's done over 650 rental properties and over 1,000 private money transactions. Again, over 1,000 private money transactions. He speaks all across the country on stages with some people that, you know, you would probably know. And is just an absolute expert when it comes to creative deal structuring. And really, you know, one of the things he specializes is taking a non-performing asset and turning it into a performing asset. And so if you've thought about building wealth by going out and buying rental property and becoming a landlord, you might have... This could give you something else to think about that can really add to your long-term, you know, passive wealth building portfolio. So I'm really excited to have Dan on here. I've been watching a lot of his Facebook videos and just kind of following along. And the guy puts out some great content, reached out to him, and we got him on the show for you. So let's dive right into it. Hey, what's going on, my friends? It's Alex back with another masterclass here. And guys, I know in the past, I always share how pumped and excited I am to connect with high-level thinkers, thought leaders, and just, you know, real deal people that are out there, not only talking and teaching this business, but people that are actually performing and doing this business. And this is one that I've had scheduled for a couple of weeks now that I've really, really been looking forward to, not only because I know how much you're going to get out of this particular show and the value that you can get as far as creating long-term wealth. But honestly, selfishly, this is an area of my business that I'm really focused on recently. You guys, if you've been following the show, you know, I've been, you know, I have a wholesaling operation here in South Florida, done all types of deals for the last 12 years. And wholesaling is great and you can make big pops of income. Same thing with fix and flip. But at the end of the day, guys, it's a high paying job, you know, and even if you have team members in place, it's a transactional business. So I have Dan Zatofsky on the line here. And so, Dan, man, I'm excited to just have you on to really talk about, you know, how you create long term wealth by ultimately being the bank.
I appreciate it, Alex. Thanks for having me on. I look forward to teaching you, you know, you and the guests as much as I can possibly teach you on what has changed my life over the last, you know, started this about 20, almost 29, geez, I'm aging myself, 29 years ago.
Wow.
But over the last 7 years, I've really switched gears in my business plan to, you know, hit my goals and my strategies. So I'd love to be able to help, you know, anybody out there learn the same way.
Fantastic, man. Well, let me tell you, you and I were talking about this a bit before we started recording here, but I happened to come across, we've been friends on Facebook for a while, and I know you did a Facebook Live where you were, you know, you were on a whiteboard for, I think, a property management company, and it was about a short 10-minute video. We'll include the link in the show notes page so you guys can check it out. And it blew me away just the kind of returns that Dan is getting by, you know, a lot of people, they think creating wealth, they go out and they buy a rental property and they think it's passive, but the truth is that in my opinion, there's not a whole lot passive by being a landlord, but the way that Dan not only teaches it, but the way he's done this in his business, like, completely blew me away. So it's kind of hard to translate on a podcast without you seeing it. So we'll definitely include the link to the show notes. But yeah, Dan, man, before we kind of get into the nuts and bolts of creating true wealth by being the bank, for the people that either don't know you or not familiar with what you've done, kind of just give us a quick rundown of how you got started in the business. I know you've been at this for close to 30 years, and then what your business looks like today.
Sure, sure. Well, I started out, I think there was a magazine article written about, you know, how I started in this business. And basically, I didn't come from money or you know, I came from a real tough upbringing. And, you know, I could tell a story on that as well. But when I was 18, basically my grandparents came over, and European grandparents. And every time I would get money, they would actually, my grandfather would take my money and put it in a bank for me. And he'd give me like $5 to go buy, here, kid, go buy yourself some candy or ice cream. I was one of those kids that had my money and go blow it on junk. And by the time I was 18, I actually had enough money to go out and get one of these 3% FHA loans on a condo. I actually got that condo, and wound up going to the Navy. While I was in the Navy, I was making more rental income on my condo in New York than I was making actually as a, you know, as an E1 in the Navy at the time. So I learned real quick that I loved that kind of income. I loved creating wealth, and at a real small level. So when I came out, I had a decent amount of equity in that property, and I learned, you know, I can go to a bank at that time and start pulling money out and buying more properties and accumulating wealth using the bank's money. Uh-huh. Now I'm big on not doing stuff like that because I'm in a different situation in my life, but it's a great way to accumulate assets under management. So from there, I got involved in, you know, renting properties, you know, the lower end properties, class C minus B properties in like Trenton, New Jersey, Philadelphia. And then I started buying, actually I was auctioning land in Arizona and Vegas back in the 90s, and I was selling it off to builders, and that was a great deal. I was selling off to builders with the options to take 10% of the properties from my own portfolio as brand new construction rental properties. Okay. And then I was selling them off. But my problem was, you know, and I got to the point where I started, you know, from the time I was probably about 26 until the time I was probably 37, 38, I was doing a lot of flips. I mean, I was doing 30, 40 flips a year, netting 40,000 plus on each flip. I was making a lot of money. Mm-hmm. I was buying cars and buying the watches and boats and living the life that, you know, if I was on an infomercial late night TV, people would spend tons of money to live my life. But yeah, ultimately, it wasn't the life anyone here really wants to live. And, you know, I see people out there and they're constantly posting their beautiful cars and how much money they spend and what they're spending their money on. But when you break down to people, they ultimately learn that the reason most of people are doing this is because they want to either retire, they want to get their spouse retired, they want to send their kids to college, they want to leave a legacy. Uh-huh. And I realized that, you know, about 7 years ago, when God forbid I get hit by a truck or something happens to me, my family can't get in my shoes and flip 30, 40 houses a year. And all I was doing was creating a job that I was stressed out, I was working 100 plus hours a week. I was miserable. No matter how much money I make, I kept buying stuff and I was chasing that. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what to do. I almost had a breakdown at that time. I had fights with the family. I didn't know what to do. And it started at that point, you know what? There's got to be a better way. I can't do this for the rest of my life. There's got to be a better way. So I had some rental property. I had a decent amount of rental properties at that time. But it was still, when you're a landlord, in the beginning, you're still out there. You're collecting. Well, you are as a bill collector. And when I say that, you're collecting, you know, you're great because the HVAC guy and the roofer and the electrician and plumber, they all love you because you're collecting money and handing it to them.
Of course.
Because Every breaks, you're handing it to them. So, you know, I decided, you know what, just being a landlord in these low-end areas, you know, trying to keep the houses as cheap as possible so I can get the most yield on my money is not going to do it either because I can never truly take a vacation. And I always tell people this, if you can't leave your business for 2 months and come back and have more money in your account than you left, you're not a business owner. You
totally agree. Totally agree.
Yeah, you created a job for yourself. And everybody out there right now has created jobs for themselves. And I see it out there. And there's people I see, you know, pick up three houses a week and they're flipping them. They're making $10,000, $15,000. And they don't even think about the government and the taxes. And how is that getting to their goal of creating wealth? So being that I was a lender, I've been a lender, a short-term, you know, hard money lender for about 16, 17 years as well. I decided, you know, I love the lending game. It really takes my hands off it, but I have all these properties. So now that I'm able to acquire these properties from non-performing notes, contract for deeds, short sales, tax liens, they're stressed sellers. The same way you acquire these properties, if I could rehab them and I could be all in at a certain point, a dollar amount. So my niche is really like the $70,000 to $120,000 range.
Okay.
If I could be in at that range, my rent to mortgage ratio is currently 1-to-1. And then I could sell these properties to an investor. And now most investors do not have all this cash to buy properties. And most banks make it really tough on an investor to go find a property on a personal loan. Maybe a commercial loan is easier, but not on a personal loan.
Right.
So I said, you know what? If I have an investor with $100,000 and they come to me and I'm selling a property for $70,000, they can only buy one property, right, Alex?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So I decided, I said, you know what? I have a lot of properties that I could sell, turnkey rentals in class B. I'm pretty much a B plus to C plus area, you know, work class, white class, well, blue collar working class area. I can sell these properties to investors, give them decent returns. So they'll see, like, you know, without depreciation and without debt reduction, they're going to see themselves, you know, an 8 to 12% cash on cash return.
Okay.
And that's including vacancy and maintenance, because I always put vacancy and maintenance in there. And then I could turn around and I can sell them 3 or 4 properties now because I'm hold a note. Now, by me holding a note, I recapture some of my cash, which makes my returns infinite or very high because of the price. You know, you understand because you're a wholesaler, so you know what price you're getting into these properties for.
Right.
If you collect rent on these properties for a year or two, and then you take a $25,000 or $30,000 down payment, you have pretty much recaptured either all your cash or most of your cash on that deal. And now you're sitting there holding a note for a 30-year RAM and a 15-year balloon. Mm-hmm. And people say to me, all right, well, what happens if I need my cash back? In the beginning, years ago, I used to actually sell off partials. And I did a call yesterday. I was interviewed on partial note sales. So you could sell off part of the payments. That's another option. But once you think about it, think how powerful this is. I'm holding a note at about 50 to 60% of the value of the property that I rehab, that I have a tenant in there, that I have property managed, with skin in the game, not owner occupied, skin in the game, performing note with equity. How powerful do you think I am out there with this?
No, incredible, man. And like, it's funny because in that video that I was referencing, you know, you asked the question like, what's the worst that can happen? It's funny because somebody answered like, oh, the person stops paying, and you're like, no, that's like the best thing that can happen, right?
That is. I mean, I'm in this business. I'm a big note buyer. I mean, that's my game. As I'm, you know, I speak at non-performing note events and contract for deed stuff. I'm a big note buyer. I like owning the paper, not really the asset as much, even though I own a lot of doors right now. Mm-hmm. But I always tell people to foreclose, you have to foreclose on yourself because I give you every possible chance to do a workout, a loan modification. I'll even offer you a deed in lieu. You have to literally either curse me out and hang up the phone and not be willing to answer our calls or attorney letters for us to foreclose. But you're right. If I'm holding a note for, you know, $40,000 on a property worth $80,000, the worst that happens is you pay me back. Because if you pay me back, I'm only making, you know, a percentage on that money. If you don't pay me back, I rinse and repeat and I do it again.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and I only hold a note. This is the most important thing. I only hold a note on a property I'm willing to own. That's the game changer right there.
Bingo.
If you're not willing to own that property yourself, I will not hold a note. And I'm only willing to hold a note on seller finance deals on property of my own properties.
Okay. And Dan, what you're talking about here, really, because a lot of people, you know, I think I alluded to this earlier in the show. A lot of people think, you know, I want to create wealth by owning a bunch of rental properties. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in your opinion, is that what separates being an active investor to being a passive investor? Because when you're the bank, it's, for the most part, it's truly passive. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but correct me if I'm wrong. Is that the difference between just being a landlord and being, like you called it, a bill collector versus actually becoming a bank, holding the paper and it being truly passive?
Exactly. I mean, I'm literally, you know, it's funny because there's times, and I own a lot, like I said, I still own a lot of doors, but my own rental portfolio that I keep for myself, I like higher end rentals. The numbers don't work as well, but my goal is to pay down that debt as fast as possible, own them free and clear. And I know you're rich dad, poor dad students out there are going to tell me I'm an idiot for this, but I always say that there's the level of sanity between financial sanity and psychological sanity. Mm. And, you can go to your wife and say, we have no debt on these properties and we're collecting 5 figures a month in rental income that we put in our pockets. You know, we'll never go poor not having a mortgage.
You can't buy peace of mind.
Yeah, you got to understand that there's a level of, you know, can I take all the properties I have and just equity them out and pull cash and go buy more and keep up? Sure, I could. But you know what? A downturn happens, like it happened. I've been through three downturns already. If it happens again, I don't want to be leveraged out.
That's right.
I don't want to be over leveraged on my properties.
Yeah. And you know, that there's two different schools of thought, Dan. I was talking, I know you're also a friend of Rob Swanson. And anytime, you know, one of the things he shared with me is anytime you introduce debt or you take out debt, you know, you're introducing a level of risk now, because if something happens with the market, you know, you could be in a tough spot, right? So, and there's two different schools of thought of leveraging good debt versus bad debt. So I'm glad to kind of hear you say that and your thoughts on that, because I know, like you said, a lot of the rich dad students will kind of like, you know, look down at you and say, well, why wouldn't you just, you know, take out a bunch of cash and go buy more, right?
Right. Well, and I agree. There's a level of understanding to that. And it all depends on, you can't just, because I speak, like I said, I'm speaking now, I got asked to speak internationally. But there's a level of that where you can't go to somebody in a local, you know, RE or a meetup type group. And I don't speak a lot at these local events, but you can't go to them there and say, well, you know, don't do this, because you have to build up your portfolio. Unless you're good at doing, you know, obtaining properties on seller financing, you need to do that to build up your portfolio. And I did that to build up my portfolio, but I did it very conservatively. Like, even when I borrowed money from a lender, from my investors, I never really borrowed over 58% of what the value ARV of that property was. Uh-huh. And let's say I needed 65%. I would put in the balance on that. I always wanted to protect my investors and lenders. I never wanted to have the downturn really hurt me.
Right.
So, but I do understand, you know, you do have to do my scenario, to do what I do, you either have to be able to acquire the notes or acquire the property somehow to be able to do this. So a lot of people say, well, how do I do that? And you do. You might have to acquire debt. You might have to raise money, whatever it might be. And that's why we teach how to raise private money, how to get investors to fund your deals. So can you do that? Absolutely. I mean, I know you're wholesaling some deals, so I don't know what price point you're in on those deals. But if you have an investor fund those deals for you, mm-hmm. all day long, you could do that. I mean, we just coached a student the other day on how to do this in South Carolina, and he's going down there and buying a ton of tax liens now. So he wants to do the same thing. And they don't understand, as long as you present to an investor what you're going to do, your plan, who you are, what you're going to do, how you're protecting them and how they make money, a lot of them are going to fund your deal. They're going to fund it all day long because they know they're protected. Now, who wouldn't fund my deal if the property is worth $80,000 and I'm asking for $40,000 or $50,000?
Yeah.
And the property is going to be fully rehabbed, managed, and rented for $850 or $900 a month. Who wouldn't fund that deal?
Yeah.
Everyone will fund it.
All day long.
Because they're paying back.
Right. Well, maybe this is a perfect time to kind of pivot. And I know this might be a little challenging, Dan, to kind of break this down on a podcast and not have the video component to it or the visual, I should say. But can you kind of break down a case study? And it could be that deal that you presented at that property manager company, or it could be one that you recently did, just so that people can really understand the power of this, how you ultimately create this long-term wealth and how you're structuring these deals.
Sure. What I'll do is I'll create one that another one that was recently done. I don't remember which one I created at that whiteboard training, but we just bought a property recently for $24,600.
Okay.
And I'm writing this down. I think our foreclosure costs, I'm going off the top of my head, were about $2,500 in foreclosure. We had a foreclose on that. I think we had about $11,000 in rehab work. I'm just writing these numbers down, so I'm gonna keep track of these. And add them up here. So I'm at 24. Give me a second here. Plus 11,000. Plus, I'm just going to show out of my pocket. Okay, 38.1. Taxes were actually paid up. Servicing and I'm going to say servicing and miscellaneous fees. I'm going to add another $1,000 in there. So we're at about 39. I'm going to estimate $39,000 out of pocket.
Okay.
That property was worth about 80 grand, 80 to 85,000, but I'm going to say $80,000 on this property. We're working on this one right now. It's going to be done here probably in the next 2 weeks. Okay. So what we'll do is we'll probably get this thing rented out. It's going to rent out for about $900 a month. Okay. Our net on that $900 a month is going to be about, I think we're with management fees, about 680. If I remember, I'm just going off memory. The the number is about 680.
Okay. Are you roughly, as a rule of thumb, just to kind of interject, Dan, so that people, the benefit of, you know, them being able to kind of follow along, do you typically take out roughly somewhere between 20 and 30% expenses off of the monthly rent? That's kind of like your rule of thumb?
I actually go through and I do this. So I'll take taxes. What I'll do is I'll do taxes, insurance. I'll figure out the tax. I know the taxes there because I'm doing my due diligence before I go up the note. So I have taxes. I know my insurance. I know my property management fee in this area is you're going to pay 8 to 10% in property management. Mm-hmm. I pay 8% in this market because I do a lot of properties. But estimate 10% if you're just looking at numbers. Okay. I also do a vacancy and maintenance of 5% each, which okay. You got to imagine if I just fully rehab a property and just put a tenant in there, I essentially don't have vacancy and maintenance usually for at least 2 to 3 years. But I always put it in my numbers to be conservative. Mm-hmm. I'd rather under promise and over deliver. That's just how I've always done the business. So on these numbers here, I'm at about 680 a month because I just recently did them, so I know those numbers.
Okay.
So if I'm at 680 a month, let's say I keep it for a year myself as a rental, because a lot of times I'll just put them in my back pocket if somebody needs to sell a finance deal. So I'll have 8160 in rent, right? So I collected 8160 in rent. Now I'm going to sell this property for 80,000, let's say I sell for only 80,000. I don't sell for 85, which I probably would sell for 85, being that's what it's worth, 80 to 85, especially solid financing. Let's say I sell for 80,000. I take 30% or $20,000. So that'll be $24,000 down, right?
Yep.
This is after one year. And I'll hold a note, usually with 2 points. So on $80,000 minus 30%, we're at 50, well, okay, so times 2%. So we have another 1120 in points. Okay, so if you add this all up, 1120 plus 24,000 for those following along, plus the rent of 8,160, I collected $33,280 after 1 year, right?
Beautiful. And just to kind of rewind for people that didn't catch that, a point is basically a percent of the loan. So Dan charged 2 points to do the deal. So he's making what, 1120, you said, Dan?
Right, because the loan is $56,000.
Exact. Plus the $24K that you collected down from the non-owner occupied investor, plus the $8,160. So now you've put into your pocket what,
33,280.
There you go.
And now to do this deal in full, I'm out of my pocket $39,000 in full. So if I take 33,280 after a year divided by $39,000.
Ridiculous.
Show you first year. I mean, nobody's even going to believe me. I get these
85% return on your money.
I told somebody, imagine I'm on Facebook telling people I make 85%. I'm going to give you even better. It's going to get even better for you. That's why I start jumping around at an event. I get excited. I wish you guys could see me right now. I start to get goosebumps when I talk about this stuff. But that's 85% right now. Let the rent sit for one more year. You're made whole. Now you made whole. But here's where it's cool. Let's say, because I get this at every crowd. Well, Dan, they raise the hand, but I need my money back to do another deal. Okay, great. So we got a $56,000 loan, right? And we're going to charge them. Let's say we charge them. We're very nice. Well, I'm going to charge 7.99%. We're going to do a 30-year AM and a 15-year balloon, okay?
Okay.
Payment is $410 a month to us, okay? If you do it on mortgage, yeah, that comes out to $410 a month mortgage payment. Is that cool?
Yep.
Now we're going to collect that mortgage payment. Let's say we collect that for a year because we want it to be a performing mortgage. And we don't even collect it. Our servicing company collects it for us and puts it in our bank account for us. So you want to talk about passive? I float around Greek islands for 3 weeks in the summer. I get my rent and my mortgage payments every month. No problem.
Music to my ears. And just so I know, Dan, typically what does a servicing company charge for that?
Servicing company for a performing note usually charges about $45 to $60 to set up the deal, and they range from $15 to $25 per month.
Okay.
Once you get to a certain level of amount of notes you're doing, they'll decrease it to like $10 a month for a performing note.
Got it.
So, and why it's cool? It's not just collecting the money, but they also report interest. They do mortgage interest statements. They do escrow. They handle all the goodbye letters, hello letters, truthful endings. They keep you all in compliance. It's well worth it. I don't ever sell. I have a lot of notes and I don't self-service any of them. Not only that, but I charge my investor the servicing fee. So they pay $15 a month if it's 15. So the principal, interest, tax, insurance, servicing. That's what
okay.
they pay.
Okay.
So for $410 a month for the mortgage payment. Multiply that by 12, We just collected another 49.20. All right, 49.20 after 1 year. That makes this a very powerful note. If this thing is performing and serviced for 1 year to an unowner occupied, so now we have 38,200. We collected 38,200.
Yep.
But now where it gets really fun and interesting. So we got almost all our, we pretty much got all our money back, right? We're made whole.
Yeah, because you were into this thing at what? You 39, right?
We got 38,200 back.
Yeah.
But where it gets really cool and interesting and fun is I'm in a different situation. About 7 years ago, I used to sell off partials. I don't really sell off partials too much anymore. Unless I have an investor that comes to me and they're like, Dan, I only have like $10,000, $20,000. What could I do? I might sell them a partial. I might. Mm-hmm.
And for the people listening, Dan, just to kind of jump in, what Dan's talking about when he says selling a partial is he's going to sell a certain number of payments, right? So on a 15 year balloon, that's 180 payments. He might sell 50 of those payments or 60 or whatever for X amount of dollars down, right?
Exactly. And let me explain that. So we had 180 payments. The borrower made 12 payments. So now I have 168 payments left, all right?
Uh huh.
After a year. So let's say you come over to me and you said, no, Alex, you come to me and you say, Dan, I got 20 grand. I want to get involved in real estate. I want to get an investment. I have money in my self-directed IRA. I have money in my 401k, my Coverdell, my health savings account, my kids' college education fund, the health savings account. I'm sorry, the Coverdell. And I want to make money. And what kind of returns are you looking for? Most people, they're happy with
what? 8 to 10.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You give them that. Anywhere from 6 to 10%, they're happy. You know, as long as it's passive, they really don't got to worry. I always tell them there's no such guarantee of anything, but they really don't got to worry. And I tell them the deal. I'm like, here's the deal. You have $20,000. So let's say I turn around. I don't have my mortgage calculator in front of me, but let's say, for instance, I'm going to sell you a $410 payment for $370. All right? So you give me $370 and you collect $410, just for argument's sake. So I'm going to take your $20,000 and divide it by $370. I'm going to sell you 54 payments.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just collected another $20,000, which gives me $58,200. I just made a $20,000 profit, and I'm still in the game. So after 54th payment, what do you think happens?
You go back and you start collecting those payments, man. That's the sweet part about this whole thing. That's when I saw that in the video, I'm like, damn.
This is true. I mean, this is just ridiculous. And why as many properties as I've done, and I've done over 1,000 transactions, I've put on a couple thousand notes. As many as I've done, I will kick myself to the day as long that I've let some of my properties go. Because now, you know, in fact, I'm working on a property right now. I don't do a lot of stuff in Delaware where I live, but I kind of do one property at a time here. And when I do it, I'll tell you the numbers. I'm in this property I bought it for $75,000. From a family and estate. It needs about, literally I could do paint and carpet and have the thing probably sold or rented. Mm-hmm. I'm probably putting close to $40,000 of work into this house.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why in a second. The value of the house is easily 220. I could sell it all day long for 220. And in my heyday, that would have been a great flip for me. Great flip. Would have made myself $60,000-$70,000 after all costs. But I'm keeping it. And people are like, well, you're keeping it, you're only going to make $1,350 a month. It's not, they don't understand that. If I sell it, I'm partnering out with the government. They're gonna destroy me. I have nothing for the future. I'll take that money and, you know, maybe I invest it in something else. Maybe I buy another car. Maybe I chase, you know, another boat. Whatever it is I used to do.
Yeah.
But here, people say, why you spend so much on your rehabs? And anyone that follows me on Facebook and sees the rehabs I do, you know, I could be in, you know, a very blue-collar area, and I'm putting granite countertops, stainless steel appliances, new cabinets. If there are anything messed up, they're getting brand new cabinets. The bathrooms, ceramic tile inserts, new tubs, new vanities, new toilet bowls, wood floors. The floors are wood. I'll redo the wood floors. If they're not wood, I'll put vinyl planks in there. I do everything to, you know, new roof. Any roof 10 years old is getting replaced. Any HVAC system or hot water heater 5 years old is getting replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And people, why don't replace? Because you're going to have to replace it.
Yeah.
And I always rent my houses out immediately. I usually have 4, 5, 6 people, you know, almost a bidding war to take my houses when we do an open house or rental.
No, you got the best product on the block, probably.
Without a doubt. I get more money than anybody else. And my average length of tenant is 6.2 years. Nobody has that. Nobody around has that.
Yeah, very little turnover at 6.2 years. I mean, damn.
Yeah, so you got to remember, if you turn over a property, if you turn over a property like these Class D type neighborhoods, you know, they'll give you yields. They'll show you yields on paper. Hey, I'm making 20%. But you're not making 20% because your average rent is 6 to 9 months. That's it. Mm-hmm. No one rents those for a full year. And they talk about Section 8 and the problems you have with Section 8. I always say, if you're going to be in that kind of business, you need to be full-time in it. It's not passive. And you create a job for yourself. Mm-hmm. You're working business, not on the business.
Yeah.
So that's how I've taken my – so do you have to get a rental price? I do recommend buying some rental properties and then turning them over, working on paying those mortgages off as fast as possible, and then selling to investors on a note.
Okay.
And I specifically love selling to non-owner occupied because I don't have to deal with Dodd-Frank. I don't have the compliance issues with Dodd-Frank. And when you work with an investor, when you work with an owner occupied, people are usually going to buy one house, right?
Yeah, right.
So they buy one. When you work with investors, they buy multiple. Last year, we did 182 properties with 18 investors. So it's not like we did a ton of properties, which 182 is decent. It's not killer. There's people doing thousands. Uh-huh. But what my claim to fame was, I only did with 18 investors. That was what was huge for me. I don't deal with a ton of people. I deal with good quality investors that have a goal in mind, and then we can help them.
Wow. No, this is, I'm just kind of quiet for a second because I'm letting it sink in. And this is just like this stuff juices me up. I love this.
Me too. And that's why I probably talk fast and I get excited and I'm on a stage usually. We've spoken in front of over 1,200 people at one event. We love it. I get ecstatic over this because people don't think like this. Like even people in the note business, they don't think like this. They buy properties because they want to make a 30% return, but they buy it on a property worth $20,000. That your exit strategy is just diminished from 9 exit strategies to 2, and yeah, that's it. You right. Could either rent it or sell to an investor who's also going to want a deal.
Okay.
You can't do anything.
Dan, are you typically, because I know you said that your bread and butter is $75,000 to $120,000 properties. You're in BC areas. Do you typically structure these deals most of the time the same way? You know, 30-year AM, 15-year balloon, you know, 8% interest. I mean, is that for the, by and large, is that how you're structuring these things?
Yeah, usually it's, and I'll go as low as, I should say, 65. So 65 to about 120 on these. I'll do a 30-year AM, 15-year balloon. Generally, my rates are usually 7.99 to 10.99. Depends on the borrower. It depends on the deal. So I'm better than most lenders out there, and I'm also beating commercial lenders because commercial lenders are giving you a 25-year AM or a 30-year AM with a 5 or a 7-year balloon.
Yeah,
I'm actually a 15-year note. And I do a 3-year prepay, which is a step down. It's small just for us to do all the work and for us to get paid off in 6 months doesn't even make sense.
Right.
So our prepay is so small anyway. It's a 3% first year, 2% second year, 1% third year. But on these loans, they're $50,000, $60,000 loans, so they're not a lot of money anyway. So to cover administrative costs. We're in this business, like I said, you know, because we also lend short-term money, and that's a little different. But this is more on – and the reason I could do rates like that is because I'm getting a lot of my money back, as you see, up front. So if I was just to hand you out money as a lender at 7.99%, I couldn't do it. I can't even raise my money at that price. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
It does.
So when the reason I do this, it's only on my properties because I'm into this property for $39,000. I already collected $8,100 back in rent. You know, I'm only out of my pocket, you know, $30,000, and you're putting $24,000 down. I'm really out of my pocket, like no money. I'm out of my pocket like $7,000. So I can do a $50,000 loan at 7%. It makes sense to me.
Got it. And I know you're at a different stage right now, but for people listening in, like when do you decide when you want to sell parcels? Like when you want to sell, how is it that you come to the conclusion, okay, it makes sense for me to take, you know, 20 grand and sell 60 payments?
Right. Well, in the past, I would sell parcels all the time because that's how I repeat. You know, when people say, how do you get your money back to buy more properties? You just sell a partial. And then, you know, I would sell 4 or 5 years, and all of a sudden those deals, the money's already kicked back to me. I've already started making the money back. Mm-hmm. So I've been paid off. The partial has expired. It's come back to me. My investor's happy. They've actually gone on to invest in all the deals. But I'm in a situation now where I don't really like to sell partials because I like the payments coming in. Because once you sell a partial, you stop getting payments for however many years you sell the partial for. Mm-hmm. So you can sell them for 10 You can sell for, you know, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, depending on how much money. It allows – what's nice about the partials, it allows you – when you speak at events or when you go to these RIA meetings or meet people, you have a lot of investors out there with $20,000, $15,000, and there's really not anything they could buy for that price.
Right.
Right? Or even on a note business, in our non-performing note business, if they want to buy an asset for that price, they're going to buy a real – they're going to buy a really crummy property in a really crummy neighborhood.
I had it.
And they're going to – a ton of work. They're going to get their butts handed to them, because if they foreclose on that property, they're going to get in. They're still going to need $30,000, $40,000 of work on a property worth $20,000, mm-hmm. like the inner city properties of the Class D neighborhoods. That's really all they could afford. So that's what you see all these new investors coming in and doing, because they want to be in the note space so bad because they think that's the way to go. But their probably best bet is to get involved in partials. Now, we work with a lot of people that have seller finance notes that need cash. They come to us all the time. We either buy them or we sell them for them. We broker those deals with our investors.
Got
so
it.
I have a lot of investors that are willing to buy those. So they'll buy them, you know, they'll buy seller finance notes as long as they're underwritten properly. And most people that do seller finance notes are doing them on owner-occupied borrowers. So with those, you have to have them underwritten by RMLO, licensed lender. And we have licensed lenders that do that. I don't particularly do too many owner-occupied borrowers anymore. My niche is really investors. And I told you why. The two reasons is, one, I can sell investors a lot more properties. And two is I don't have to deal with the Dodd-Frank compliance in most states. Some states you still have to deal with.
Got it. So, Dan, man, just to kind of, you know, wean down here on the show, what – there's a lot of wholesalers, experienced wholesalers that listen to this particular show. And, of course, there's people that are getting started. What would you say is kind of, and I know this is a loaded question, but if you could kind of break it down the best you can, what's step one, two, and three? If somebody is kind of addicted to that wholesaling income, and I'll, to a certain degree, I'll throw myself into that mix as well. You know, they're making 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 grand on these deals. And, you know, they need that money for their household and to fund their business and their marketing. And it's we both know it's a transactional business. It's a high paying job. So what's step one, two, and three to start to kind of whether transition out of wholesaling or keep wholesaling, but just be strategic about buying some of these properties and then holding paper? Like, how would you recommend, or if you were going to coach a wholesaler that wanted to start creating this wealth long term? And I know you have a course about this, which, guys, we set up an affiliate link for it. I'll reveal that here in a bit here. But can you kind of break that down the simplest way you can as far as how you would coach or recommend somebody to start transitioning from wholesaling to creating this wealth?
Right. Well, depending on how many deals, sure, I would love to, because I love to see people doing that. You could still wholesale, but like me, when I was flipping properties, I was in 30, 40 properties a year. I was taking money from those properties and I was acquiring properties for myself to keep. You're in a different situation. You're actually in a better situation. I mean, if you're wholesaling these properties, you know the numbers. I don't know how many deals people here are doing. And if you're doing one deal a month, you really need to kick it up. But if you're doing, you know, 5 to 10 deals a month, figure out how much you really need to start living on. Either keep one of those properties for yourself if they fit in that niche. That niche, I'm going to tell you, is the number. You want to be in a class B plus to really B minus, maybe C plus, teetering on the C plus areas. Mm-hmm. Blue collar, working class areas, single family houses with pride of ownership. You want to either keep those properties or start buying, depending on the area you're in. You start buying in emerging markets. You need to learn the emerging markets you want to be in. I think even on my YouTube channel, I've been interviewed on what is an emerging market. I spent a lot of time building teams, because I don't do a lot of investing in my own hometown. I'm in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm in Montgomery, Alabama, Birmingham, Alabama, Indianapolis. I did a lot of stuff in Cleveland. So those are very good emerging markets, but it's real important to build a team. Uh-huh. So if you're acquiring a decent amount of properties, if you have the ability to at least keep one, let's say you're doing five a month and you can keep one every 2 or 3 months for yourself. And as long as your numbers are – if you're all in on a property with rehab at about 70% better and the rent-to-mortgage ratio is at least a 1-to-1 or better, which means if the property's worth $85,000 and your rent is $850,000, you're like a 1-to-1, I call it.
Okay.
You can make these numbers – the numbers will work every single time like this. Okay. You don't want to be in these states like New Jersey with very high taxes. It doesn't work there. And you really can't get a property in that $65,000 to $120,000 range there. That's in a good area. So I would recommend keeping at least one every 3 months. Okay. If you can build up as fast as you can get to about 10 properties and then work on those 10 properties. Now, even if you do seller financing, like for instance, even if you bought a property from me and I'm holding it off for you, get us paid off as soon as you possibly could so you can own that property, and then you could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need to acquire. You need to get yourself to acquire at least 10 to 20 properties. And however you have to do that, make sure your rent is in that range where you need to be. Make sure you're in a good emerging market and you have a good team. And you could very easily, within 2-3 years, be sitting on six-figure passive income every year.
Yeah, got it.
And then, at that point, you know, because there's this quandary of like, hey, I need to wholesale deals so I can pay my bills. I can't stop wholesaling, otherwise I can't pay my deals, but I want to get to this next level. How do I do it? You have to slowly start doing it. It's like paying loans. I teach people how to pay off their debt, right? You can't pay off all your debt in month one, but if you take one credit card and you pay that off first, your lowest credit card. Then you go to your next credit card, pay that off, and then cut those damn things up. Don't live off credit. The worst thing in this world is living. I mean, we need to do a whole nother show on credit, living on credit. And we teach people how to get out of debt. It's so important to get out of debt. Stop taking car loans. Stop. And I know people are like, well, it's 0%. Stop taking car loans. Stop groceries with a credit card because you can spend that much more. It's proven. Psychologically, it's proven that you can spend that much more.
Yep.
Just get out of debt. I mean, we have a lot of doors. I mean, a lot of doors, I'm telling you. We have literally two mortgages left on all our doors. And our mortgages are under $50,000 each on properties well over $200,000.
Amazing.
We sit there and we focus. We took all our money and we started paying off one property at a time. And we got all these properties paid off. So, you know, I can go to a bank and I can take out millions and millions of dollars now and buy a ton of properties. And then if the market cycle turns, like, but I'm at the point in my life where I hit my goal.
Yeah.
It's where I can actually do what I want, when I want, how I want, you know, anytime I want.
Yep.
I like, well, what do you still, I love this business. I love, what do I love about this business? My passion is content, teaching people, speaking at events, a high-end event, and, you know, getting invited to speak internationally to different organizations where I can teach them how to change their life. And I'm more like you know, really verging towards a life and a business coach than how to do real estate. Mm-hmm. And that's what we kind of put together, that, you know, online training series. We kept it very cheap. We included everything in it, every document I have, every marketing piece I have. If you follow what I say, there's no way you could fail. From everything to raising money, my exit strategies, due diligence, setting up a team in an emerging market, every legal document I have and every marketing piece I have. And I said, because I'm really getting to the point where I was coaching for a long time and I don't want to teach the how-tos anymore. I want to teach mindset for people and really shift the paradigm into that mindset where, you know, where I came from, I mean, it's a very tough upbringing and it's not the kind of show here we're talking about, but, you know, people think, well, how'd you get started? I mean, you must have had, you know, parents that did this. You must have had a lot of money. And I basically saved birthday money to buy my first condo. I mean, the story gets on and on. I mean, wow. It was... The magazine article that was written back then was pretty good. It was when I was out speaking to an entrepreneur. I had a magazine article written, and they did a good job. And it was funny because people thought – I was actually in the police department at the time, and I was actually investigated by Internal Affairs because they're like, how can this guy who's making minimum pay have a house, have a beautiful car, and his wife doesn't work? They actually brought me in and actually interviewed me. To the point at the end of the interview, they started asking me all questions how they can invest in real estate.
Very cool.
It's just a mindset. People aren't taught this on how to do this. Nobody teaches you this.
You know, and just I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Dan, just to double down on what you're saying, you know, I always tell people, invest in yourself first because nobody can take away what's in between your ears. And you know, Dan, you, me, anybody can teach somebody the X's and O's, the strategy, the techniques, the tips and tricks. But if they don't have the right mindset, it's all for nothing. Like it's not going to work.
Right. And I actually have a coach myself and he's taught me the one thing he's taught me is, you know, when you go to these events or you go to trainings or you get yourself a coach yourself, you go to a mastermind type thing. Don't think of it as an expense. Think of it as an investment. You're investing in yourself.
Yep.
You have to invest in yourself. You have to invest in the right people, in yourself, to get to that next level. And, you know, everybody needs a coach in life, whatever it is. You know, and wholesalers, if you're out there and you're looking to do something like this, find someone in your neck of the woods that can teach you. I mean, there's somebody in every neck of the woods that's a big, you know, landlord. They can teach you at least how to get these properties and then find someone who can teach you how to create notes on them. I mean, you just – I'm big on finding the best there is and just aligning myself with that person. And, you know, I don't think of it as a fee. If I have to pay them, I pay them. But it's an investment in me, not because I'm paying them a fee. It's real important that you guys go out and do that. That's going to change your life. But you got to understand, and every goal, like if you're a wholesaler, you're a flipper, just work backwards. Start with your goal. What is your end goal? Why are you doing what you're doing? I'm sure, Alex, you're not doing what you're doing just to pay your bills, because you can go get a job.
That's right. Bills.
You're looking for a better life for you and your family. Mm-hmm. And you're doing a great job. You're phenomenal at what you do. Well, everyone starts at wholesale. Take it to that next level, right? What is your exit strategy? Where are you looking to get to one day? And you didn't get into wholesale because you said, I want to be a wholesaler when I'm 60, 70 years old. Nope. There's a strategy you have.
That's right.
You know, figure out and work backwards. And you're on your way. I mean, if you're wholesaling successfully, it's a real easy business. I was never a great wholesaler. I was a great buyer. I was a great flipper. I was a great landlord, but I was never a great wholesaler. I just didn't like it. Like, it wasn't for me.
Yep.
I was like, I got a great – I always thought, why am I selling this thing off? It's a great deal. I want to make all the money. I don't know. Maybe I was greedy. I want to make all the money. I know how to fix these houses. Why give them to someone else? So when I just, you know, raised money – I mean, a lot of wholesalers wholesale because they don't know how to raise money. Mm-hmm. A lot of them do it because they just get that quick money. So what, the deals I've wholesaled off is the ones I really don't want to do. Or I got guys in my area that they're happy making 10 grand on a flip. I'm not. So if I see a deal and it's a $20,000, I think it's a $20,000 deal, I'll wholesale for 10 grand. I'll make 10 grand and sit back and let them do all the work and then make 10 grand.
Mm-hmm.
So just work exit strategy backwards. That's my biggest piece of advice for people. And then, like I said, on the notes with us, don't hold an owner on property not willing to own.
Love it, man. Well, Dan, I can't thank you enough for just taking the last, you know, 45 minutes or so just to share this with people, because it's so, so powerful. And again, this is an area that I'm going to hold myself accountable to, that I'm really just going to take my game to the next level when it comes to building this wealth. And ultimately, it's like you said, man, what are you in this business for? It's not... You might think it's to make money, but chances are it might be for the freedom. It might be for your family, for both, for leaving a legacy. Get crystal clear on what you want, why you want it, and that's going to drive you when things get tough. That's my belief. So, Dan, guys, if you want to check out Dan's training that just came out, we set up an affiliate link for it. You guys can go to flipempire.com/wealth. So flipempire.com/wealth. And then that'll redirect you to Dan's page. So Dan, I don't know if you have anything to add about that training course or just any kind of final words here.
Okay. Well, real quick, just like I said, the training course is really an ins and out, just so you understand about my business. There's no upsells. I'm not doing it's not expensive. We, you know, the marketing company wants us to charge $49.97. We're only charging $14.97, but we're not upselling anything. You know, they wanted to, you know, do this, and there was a whole plan. It took them 5 years for me to, almost 5 years for me to actually agree to do this, because I'm not a guru. I do not want to be a guru. The only reason we did it is because so many people were asking me to train them how to raise money, how to do my exit strategies, how to find an emerging market. And I just physically got to the point where I just don't have the time anymore to do that. I mean, I only do up to eight one-on-one students a year. I'm not cheap with that, but you know, I have to put my time into the students and my own business. So we put this together, and like I said, with the training course, it's an easy watch. I think it's 22 modules. They're 10 to 30 minutes each. They're not hard. We kept them simple. It's a whiteboard type training. We kept it really basic for people, but it actually, if you follow everything we tell you to do, there's no way you cannot be successful at doing what you want, from raising money to emerging markets. And you actually have all my materials, so all my marketing materials, all my PowerPoint presentations, all my handouts, all my legal documents are all in that training. So we put it out there. And that's the only reason I did it, is because, I do not want to be known as a guru. It's not my business model education. My business model is actually being in the business, which I think for anybody is the best person you want to learn from. Not out there pitching to coach students, because it's not what we're about. But so that's there, and it just got launched, I think, like 3 weeks ago. We had it at one event, and it went like wildfire. So it's going good. I've had great responses so far from it. Like I said, if you have any questions, if you get that, you have any questions, I really can't help you unless you have that and have watched it. People have asked me all the time, well, can you just teach me how to raise private money? And I told my hourly fee is going to be way too expensive. You do me a favor, get the course. Yeah. If you have questions after the course, I'll help you. It'll be a lot cheaper for you. You'll understand a lot better. It simplifies things for you, gives you everything you need. So there's nothing left out. So And with that, I really appreciate, you know, you bringing me on and let me, you know, educate your listeners. And I'm really going to hold you to, you know, Alex, I'm going to hold you to this. I want to see where you get in the next 6 months to a year with your creating wealth, because I know that's, you know, you're doing a great job. I see what you're doing out there. And if I can help you in any way, I'm more than happy to.
Thank you, Dan. Really appreciate it. And guys, again, I really just want to stress, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know that I always just challenge you at the end. Please, 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 you know, repay Dan and I by just taking one or two things that he shared with you today and just put it to work. Like, if you don't implement it, it's just not going to do you any good. I mean, you've taken the first step to just take the time to listen to this podcast. Take the second step and actually apply what you've learned. And then that's when you're going to start to see the fruits later on. So that's my challenge to you. Hopefully you take it. Dan, I appreciate you, brother. And guys, if you want to connect with Dan, we're going to include the link where you can connect with him. Dan, you want people connecting with you on Facebook or your Zatovsky Capital Management.com page, or you want me to include that in the show notes as well?
Yeah, that'll be great. And they can, or they can email me directly at dan@zatovskycapitalmanagement.com.
Beautiful. So yeah, guys, we'll have all those links in the show notes page. And if you have any questions and you want to connect with me, I'm happy to help and answer any questions you guys might have. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Take care, everyone.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Take care.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.